Welcome to Between the Lines, a podcast that is all about finding out the messages within some of our favourite songs. My name is Jam Supernova, and today my guest is Yasmin Lacey.
Hi.
Yasmin.
Hi, babe.
Oh, I made this podcast around you.
Don't.
I did. Yeah, I did. I really like knowing you, but also listening to your work. I was like, I want to know more, and I want the people to kind of know what I've kind of heard when we've been together. Because I would say we've been like acquaintances for some time, and like respectful of each other. I'm like, hey babe, you know, hugging. But you became my like mate in LA.
Yeah, we had a good time. We had such a good time.
Best time ever. You invited me to Joshua Tree, and I was like, yeah. Actually,
I was so glad you was up for it, because I was like, is she going to be like, why are you asking me to go to the desert with you just randomly?
I took a chance.
Yeah, you took a chance, and I'm glad. We had a great time.
It was one of the best times, and I think I just really needed that release, like being on tour, you know, being somewhere on your own to kind of be in a familiar space with somebody and to kind of have this sort of shared, you know, we're from, you know, similar areas, or we grew up in London and stuff like that. So I just think my best memory is us watching the sunset and we were laughing so loud. Everyone's trying to have this like peaceful moment, and all you can hear is our laughs like ricocheting off the mat.
And it was like the sunset goes so quickly as well. So everyone was just like,
these London girls, like, yeah. So I really appreciate that. And one thing I learned about you on that trip, because like 2.5 hour drive there, 2.5 hour drive back.
What, that I can't drive?
It's questionable. I felt safe most of the time. But you talk, you know.
I'm a talker. Oh,
time went fast. One thing I learned about you on that trip was that you love wine.
Yeah, I do love wine.
And I was like, I love wine, but you've taken it to another level. A sommelier. Yeah, is that how you pronounce it?
A sommelier. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, babe, but I've done my level one. Mm. But yeah, I'm not a fully fledged. There's like loads of stages.
To me, yeah. You're a sommelier, okay? And we do a wine breaker, so we don't have to drink it, but it's just this idea of me thinking about the right wine for you.
That's so cute.
Being that you know, you've learned some things. I went for a Chenin Blanc.
Nice.
It was a 90% score.
Okay.
In the supermarket that I got it from. And it had a security tag on it.
That's how you know it's elite.
Right? They're not letting me leave.
There's levels to that. Yeah? They want that one. So thank you, babe.
No worries.
I mean, I'm always up for a glass of wine, so up to you.
You have to give me your reaction to it and let me know.
Thank you. That's so sweet, though.
No, and it's from South Africa. I've just been to Cape Town.
Yeah.
And nice. I was just kind of like, yeah, I want to know what it's like. Okay? So you let me know.
I'll let you know.
So this is all about breaking down a song, but the idea is, what's lovely is it doing it with the person. So for us, we're going to really kind of get into the words and the messages. And I've chosen Fool's Gold, which is track 4 from your debut album, Voice Notes.
Yeah.
I guess firstly, physically, where were you when you wrote the song?
I was underneath the pub, the Railway Tavern in Tulse Hill. And there's some studios under there. And I really like making stuff under there. It was just like a little dungeon. And you can go there any time of night. So it was like me, Tagara, Jordan, Jaeger and Zach. We were there. It was quite late, I would say, like from 7 p.m. onwards. I don't know when we actually recorded that bit, but yeah.
And so you wrote it with a group of people?
Yeah, we were just jamming. Like, I think me and Zach had worked on this idea, and then we took it to them in the evening, yeah. Mm.
And with the album, you know, a lot of your earlier stuff was kind of, you know, you on the rise, but this album was kind of very much like a flag in the sand of, like, this next chapter of your career. So kind of having, like, more bodies in the room or, you know, being in this studio, which, you know, I know, you know, sort of like you had an executive producer, David Kumu, and this kind of, like, I don't know, like, level of, I guess, this new professionalism. Did that change the way you wrote?
No, that's why I love the Railway Tavern, because it's just like, it's exactly the vibe of when I first started making music. Go there, just jam, like we're just chatting and just everyone's just about and everyone's just playing stuff and then just going for it, you know, just like saying something. So in some ways I think it had, but not for this particular song.
Yeah. I actually first heard the song at your release party, which was in the Standard, and you prefaced it with a story. And I remember it sort of sticking out to me. So could you imagine, like, you're like, Yasmin Lacey, next song I'm going to do for you is... Fool's Gold.
So this next song I'm going to play. No, Fool's Gold is basically, so the day before, the night before I went to the studio with them, I was coming back from somewhere, I left somewhere super late and I was at the bus stop. And I got chatting to this woman. I'm trying to think now. I think it was just a lighter. We exchanged the lighter and then we started chatting. And she asked me like where I was coming from and all that. And then we just had this massive long conversation. And I remember like when I went to the studio the next day, that was just in my mind. And we were like jamming. I remember singing like, I'm at a bus stop or whatever. And then it just kept going around my head. I was like, okay, I need to write this conversation out.
And what was so profound about this conversation with this stranger in the early hours of the morning?
Timing. Like, you know, I'm a big believer in signs. And it's like where I was coming from, I think I was like, had lots of different things going around in my head and like a lot was going on in my life. And I don't know, sometimes when you meet a stranger, it's just like you can just say whatever. Like you don't know anyone. And we just had this exchange and it just... It was like one of them conversations where like, yeah, you're right, babe. Do you know what I mean? And like...
Because you're smoking. Yeah, no, tell me about it. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we just connected and it stood out to me.
And on the first listen, you know, I guess I'm wondering, you know, you're speaking about this experience and this idea of this woman trying to find fool's gold. But then I wondered if there's a part of you that's within it as well. In this conversation, are you both searching for something?
100%. And I think that in most conversations or whatever in life, like if you're, what stands out to you is because that's what you resonate with. So what she was saying about her life resonated with mine. And there were definitely similarities, you know. So, yeah.
And was it like, you talk about relationships? Were you talking about, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, we talked about relationships. She asked me for a lighter. She asked me where I was coming from. I was coming from a party. So we'd both been drinking and we were just talking about that and just giggling. And then she told me that she was a sex worker. She was just talking a bit about that, talking about a guy that she'd been seeing. And I started talking about a guy that I'd been seeing. And then it was just like typical like women in the toilet at a club conversation. It's like, yeah, babe. It was just like that. But it was really interesting hearing about her life. And yeah, I don't know. She gave me some gems, but there's definitely a little bit of me in there for sure.
I like the way that you kind of, I guess, broach the subject. It does come through that she's a sex worker. I don't know why I kind of felt that already.
Oh, yeah.
And you sort of, I guess you sort of talk about the idea of like trying to get a quick fix or a dopamine hit, but whether it's kind of, you know, visual in the way of it being addiction, but the way that you write about it is very kind of matter of fact and non-judgmental, which I feel like is the kind of conversation that sort of needs to be happened.
Yeah.
And it's the only when you are out at that time of night are you going to encounter, you yeah. know, people that do that work. And I guess, yeah, for you, when you're sort of writing these sort of quick lyrics, how did you kind of make it so matter of fact and not trying to delve into the why of why people do things?
One, it's none of my business. Like, I do think, like, coming at something from judgment, it says probably more about you. Like, I'm, like, I don't know. It's like, everyone's life's different. Mm. She might have been, like, thinking about choices that I'd made in that conversation and being like, oh, babe, you know? So, yeah, definitely no judgment. It's more observation. And you know what? I think I always write like that because I always write how I speak. And do you know what I mean? Me and you have had enough conversations now. It's like, I'll tell you, like, nah, Jams, it's just fool's gold, that bit. You know, that's just how I speak. So I'm just writing as it comes to me, like, as I remember stuff, you know? And matter of fact, just because that's just life, isn't it? Like, the conversation we're having is just really matter of fact.
So I'll read from the first verse, okay. Which I always get a bit nervous about in front of the artist. She's left down, stays close, tried to catch a rose, ended up with a thorn. Getting by for a turn, glittered nose, she just wants to fool gold. One thing you've got to know, outside yourself is fool's gold. She crouched down looking for treasure, quick touch fix, she needed a dopamine hit. Sticks like glue, sick rapid tricks. She was there for fool's gold. Shakespeare.
It's so weird having someone read your lyrics.
It's hard me reading them. I feel like I can't read. One of the things that I sort of was drawn to was, I guess, the analogy of a rose, yeah, which is such a universal, you know. I feel like if I was to make a compilation of all the songs that mention a rose, you know,
there's a lot.
There's a lot. But the way that you've done it is like in a way that's not cliche. And is that something that you sort of consider when you're writing? Are you like, no, that's too cliche? No, it needs to feel like this.
No, and if you want me to be 100% honest, sometimes I write things and I'm like, yo, that's cheesy. Like, I'm like, no, yes, is that what you're actually saying? But I just learned quickly, if you're going to do this, like, I can't be the one judging myself. I think once you put something out, you're up for scrutiny and everyone, like, it is some people's things and not. But I have to write it in the way that feels true to me. And if that's cheesy one day, it is. If it's angry one day, then that's how it is. But I've got to sing it, so I've got to say it in a way that feels right to me. So I don't really think about that. And sometimes I do and I'm like, that's cheesy. But I just like, oh, whatever.
You have
know?
To get outside yourself.
You have to just let that roll off and like commit to the fact that that's how you felt at a time. It's only a moment. Mm. You know, like sometimes these things are written in pen and paper and you're like, wow, it feels, it is like, it does like carry on. But it's just a snapshot of how I felt at that time.
Yeah. I haven't heard the word fool's gold in such a long time. Like it reminds me of something that your nan, like a Jamaican proverb, you know. Might say, but for you, is that kind of like within the vernacular of how you speak?
Yeah, I like, and it probably does, like my parents are Caribbean and it does feel like something my nan would say, like I'm such an old soul. But I think I grew up around, I'm obsessed with the way people like eat up words if English isn't their first language, and like the way people phrase things, or you know, if you come from a different culture, how you like translate things into the English language. My nan would just always have these phrases like about random things, and I think that's one of them that she would say. But also I think it is a, maybe I just made it up, but I think it is, I definitely didn't make up fool's gold.
I mean, it does exist somewhere. No, it does.
That just, that I didn't mean it like that, but I'm just saying, like, you know, like, just the way my family speak, the way my friends speak, like, there's a phrase for everything, you know, like, at the end of the day, and when all said and that, all of these kind of things is just, like, in my everyday dialect, I suppose, so. And
put it in the song.
Yeah, and I love the way people's, like, turn a phrase, you know, like, we were actually talking about this the other day, and when we were younger, my nan always used to say to us, if we didn't go to sleep, like, you know, kill a donkey, and we never, it doesn't make any sense, but, like, that's just her way of like saying it. And I'm so excited by those things in language. And so I suppose I just want to put as much of that, because that's me and that's the way I speak in the songs, you know.
One of the best lines I ever heard was from my friend's nan, and she's like 103 now. She's still going strong.
Kick it, yeah.
Yeah, she was saying, you can't stop dog from bark and people from talk.
That's a good one. That
so
is a good one.
We always say it to each other.
Do you know what I mean?
It's true.
Like, and I feel like, and also it's a way of preserving those little phrases, isn't it? Like, yeah.
Part of the Voice Notes album as a sort of conceptual album, the way it kind of opens, and even this experience at the bus stop, it was the process of making the album and you being in this space of like almost self-therapizing and not being able to afford therapy.
Sometimes that bloody haunts me. I'm like, why did I say that? And it's like,
that's what opens the album.
It's real, like. Yeah. I think music is therapy always. I would just like to say at this point out of the opportunity, I do think it's worth spending money on therapy.
I take that back. Invest in yourself.
Invest in your mental health, guys. You know what I mean? But that's the one thing that I'm so grateful for music to me, because the way that I came into it was not always to pursue music. I've always been writing from like a, like it, like something that needs to come off my chest, you know what I mean? And so I think for me personally, it's always like that. Maybe now, like, and I've been doing it longer, I'll come to a stage where I can, you know, get outside of my own head and maybe write about something that I'm just, you know, observing. But I think it's always been a release for me to write things like that. And that is a form of therapy, because there is an element of me that, like, transforms that energy. Like, it's down on paper and then it becomes this song that I get to sing and perform in different places. Like, it's not the same energy that it was, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And even for us, I guess, on the other side, you know, we're kind of being therapized by the music. It's this kind of exchange, isn't it? And people kind of add meaning to songs that are for them in their life. So
yeah,
anybody that kind of reads this song is this idea of like, is it the idea of searching for something outside of yourself when you should be searching within?
Yeah.
In some ways.
Yeah, and I think fool's gold is just like that thing that feels really shiny that is probably not all it's cracked up to be, you know? It's like a lot of time about perception, how you perceive the thing or the situation that you're in, rather than just like what you need to get, what you need to get, you know?
You spoke about at the bus stop, it kind of exchange the sort of connection of both being kind of giggly and drunk and then talking about relationships. But I wonder what else was going on in your life around that time of the writing? Like what else was you kind of, yeah, I guess, in the search for?
Probably a bit of grounding, because I just made a lot of big changes in my life. And so, you know, that kind of feeling, I think maybe it comes after or before Where Did You Go on that album. So it's like those two are kind of linked, you know, of feeling like you need to like stabilize yourself and ground yourself. And yeah, I think that, you know, relationships were going on and like maybe sometimes as well, like looking for outside validation of certain things if you don't feel like quite grounded yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah.
And has that kind of like, you know, ebbed and flowed throughout the process, and now you're kind of on the other side of this, you know, you're in a whole, you know, in a whole new chapter essentially.
Yeah.
So do you, when you sing this song, do you still feel those feelings?
Sometimes I listen to stuff on the album or when I'm singing it, I'm like, wow, girl, you was cut up. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, and I feel fine. I feel like other things have happened in my life, but yeah, I suppose there is a weird part of you that's like, because it's like shedding skin, I write it down, it becomes a song, like that's that now, like it's compartmentalized, hence the therapy thing.
I want to read the chorus. So it's kind of, one thing you got to know, that outside yourself is fool's gold, searching to find that fool's gold, and then it kind of repeats, searching to find that fool's gold. And then we get into the second verse. But what I really like about that is there's a change in sort of cadence. It's like, you know, she's been fiending for the limits. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's like you kind of like sort of like shoulder me with it, you know? The rhythm changes, the cadence changes, the way you say it changes, the delivery of it. And yeah, I just kind of wonder, was that purposeful and what's the impact of it?
Slightly purposeful, like this is ultimately like a freestyle, you know, like when I went in, that stuff is coming off the top and I'm just saying it and like we're playing it for ages kind of thing. And then I'm like, cool, this next bit, and it's like, maybe I don't think it's intentional. I wanted to say something smart then, like, yeah, because I thought I would change it up, but it just comes out of me. It's like, this is how I felt like it needed to change, and the melody comes and I'm just like, okay, let's go. You know, like there is no intentional change, but I suppose maybe that bit is maybe a realization. It's maybe where I'm drawing a line between me and her of like, you know, where I feel it, or like we, maybe I could change it to we, but I didn't want to.
We've been feeling for the limits. Yeah. So there was a little bit of she.
Yeah.
Hesitation.
Well, no, I was about to say, yeah, because sometimes even though you're writing stuff and you're putting stuff out there, I like to keep some of my privacy, you know, so the tools, the beauty of songwriting. Is it me? Is it somebody else? I don't know. But no, it's definitely me and somebody else. But yeah, I just let it come out.
I felt it, you know, and I think it kind of like, it sort of snaps you, you know, because obviously you're vibing into it and then it sort of snaps you in. Are boundaries kind of important to you in terms of, obviously, you know, I'll be honest, like I really want to do Pieces because I love this song actually. And now having done it and kind of come at the angle of it, but you were like, no, it's too personal, which is fair enough. And there has to be that. So I wondered, you know, you're writing yourself, like you said, there has to be some kind of line sometimes.
I think like there's a good, you know, we can have conversations about things and I don't have to be like on this day, diary entry, blah, blah, blah. But I think as an artist, and I'm realizing that more and more music I put out is like, oh, like I'm exposing myself. Do you know what I mean? That's how it feels. It feels vulnerable. And it's like, I've learned over the past couple of years, I think I'm a great communicator, but I probably am best at communicating my most honest feelings when I'm writing. So I want to sometimes not talk about all of the ins and outs of everything, because it's just like, I've given you Pieces. I've told you what it is. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to talk about it. And move on for those things kind of thing, yeah.
And when you do speak to people that listen to your music, and, you know, we were actually out in a club the other night before Christmas, and you're like, it was Annie Mac, and Clara Amfo. You're one of their most listened to artists, and you went really weird.
Oh gosh, I knew you were going to say that, and I do. I feel like even now, it's like for how well I know you, I feel a bit like, oh gosh, what should I say to Jones?
Because I don't know. Maybe there's still that little tiny space in my head between me and me as an artist. You know, like, am I? You know what I mean? So there's that. But when people say things like that, or when you're like, yeah, I went through the lyrics and I loved it more. I don't know. I love music so much. First and foremost, I know what they're saying. Like, you know what I mean? And then you're like, oh,
you're a fan too.
You're a fan too. Like that. Like, you know, that's how I would speak about things that I love. So I always feel a bit like, and the thing is, you know, I'm not shy. So that was weird because I just got really shy. I was like, oh, hi.
It's a very humble way to be. But you were just like this.
I didn't know what to say. And I was like, oh, God, embarrassing.
Anyway, guys, drink. Anyone? Anyone want a drink?
I'm actually quite a cringy person, but yeah.
Are there songs that you do write that aren't from your personal experience, that are more observational, maybe some on the albums that are a bit more removed?
You know what? It's interesting because I feel like this is the space I'm moving into now, you know, like, when you have a lot of changes going on in your life, everyone's the centre of their own movie, aren't they? So I'm just like, oh, you know, this is my life and da da da. And now there's some balance and some calm restored. I think there's like an element of me that is just like, my eyes are like a bit wider outside of yourself. And like, I'm starting to write more stuff that is like just, you know, wider than like, I experienced this. But there are songs, I'm trying to think of all my own songs now.
This is so bad, my own songs. It's because I don't listen to my own music. It's like, name one, Jess.
That was another awkward part in the car because I had my phone playing music when we were driving to back and forth from Joshua Tree. And then you kept coming up. So like the phone's like algorithmically playing music and you're obviously one of my most listened to artists. So then you just kept coming up and it's like, do we listen to this?
And I'm you were just like you know, I just find it a bit awkward when some meet you and they're like, oh, you make music, like play it. And I'm like, no, in your own time.
The idea of someone, what, you watching them sort of receive the music.
I think that's what it is. And like, you can't help it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just like, also people are like, we can be friends and you can not like something that everyone does. But you just want to give people space to like respond in their own way. Yeah. Not be like, yeah, it's really good. Like, oh, yeah. Like, it's just like, it's all really awkward. So I'm just like, no.
Imagine if I was like, no, I don't like that one. Oh, it was you. That would be terrible. That would be terrible. There'd be a song about that. Next album. All about me. Now, on a fan level, though, meeting people that listen to your music that are away from the music industry, you know, what song, you know, a song like Fool's Gold, has anybody said to you, yo, that song really, really made me feel this?
Yeah, people will be like, do you know what I actually love, which always gives me joy when people go like, I get it, like, I'm like an insert, like, massive life experience here. And I'm like, yo, that's not what I'm saying. But I love music about that. There's songs that I've been singing for the past 20 years. I don't know what the person was writing about, but to me, the way I receive it and the way it's like sat with me in my life, it doesn't make it any less important. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And some things are like bigger than words, and it could just be a tone of someone's voice, like when the song catches you or anything like that, that makes you feel something. So yeah, people will be like, oh, like, you know, like just wild stuff. Like, oh yeah, by the way, like Fool's Gold. Yeah. You know, like, getting a fix on it. And I'm just like, whoa, like, I don't really, like, I can't help you in this moment. I just wrote the song, babe. Like, yeah. Or, you know, that really reminds me of, or I get that a lot with songs when people just insert, but I actually just feel flattered by it. Do you know what I mean? And it's a nice way to connect because, you know, people listen to your music, but like, I don't know them. Do you know what I mean? So in a gig or something like that, if someone says something, you're like, oh, right. It's like, feels like a tangible thing, you know, more connecting.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like at a show.
I love the line, and that's what's been really great about this sort of process, is like thinking about the lines when you're just like, that was a fucking line. That was so sick. She thought the grass was better, but grass is just mud in wet weather. You know?
I'm not going to lie, right? But yeah. That day, shout out everyone in the studio that day because I was gassed with that. Like, it just came out and I looked around and everyone was like,
that's kind of bad. If we were in a cypher, yeah, and you were like battle rapping somebody.
This is my ultimate goal. My actual ultimate goal is to be a rapper. I'm just working on it. I'm just limbering up. Do you know what I mean?
Getting there, yeah. But tell me, like, when that, like, did it just come from the dome?
yeah, it, like I was thinking about the term the grass is always greener. And I was thinking that is true because you don't know. And it's also your perception of things, yeah? So like, I was just like, yeah, like you thought the other grass was better, but it's actually just mud. If your perception or if the environment is bleak, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it does. No, it does. Because when you, again, that matter of factness, it's like, but grass is just mud in wet weather. So it could be greener and better for a minute.
But if, it's you. It's ultimately you that has the power to like view it in any which way, you know, or the environment. And then, yeah, I was like, hold on a minute. And then I was like trying to, I was saying it and trying to get the rhythm of it, and then when I did, everyone was like, and I just felt so gassed.
So sick.
I was like, yeah, we're keeping that.
Yeah, I'm glad you kept it in. Has there been any sort of times in your life where you like, you know, that sort of perception thing where you kind of like a real life lesson when you've got to the other side of something and you're like, actually it's not what I thought it would be, or it is just mud?
I remember before I did music, right, and I was working 9 to 5. The way I perceived the music industry was just like people just have a nice time all the time. And then when I started doing it, I was like, wow, there's actually a lot required of you in this space. You know what I mean? That's not actually what that song is about, but that has been like definitely a learning curve. It takes a lot to like put yourself out there and like package up your thoughts in this way and execute and commit to executing it. So just things like that, I think. And also just as a very like generic one of like looking for validation outside of yourself, like just never works, you know what I mean? And it's only ever temporary. So I think that's another experience of like grass is greener. Any of them like intrusive thoughts that ever like, oh, you know, if I just, then I'll just, and if they, and then I can just, and it's like, it's all a load of bollocks actually. Because you can get in them situations and you still feel a way about yourself. So I think that's like a good thing to learn. Yeah.
I'm the biggest like grade A student in like, I'm like, I want to be praised in terms of like,
I love it.
Seeking, yeah. Like, you know, I've had to really work in the last sort of like, yeah, 10 to 5 years on not knowing that, being aware in that I do seek validation outside of myself a lot, but actually trying to implement things that allow me to first think about how I feel before I take on anyone else's validation.
And also to say that it is natural.
Yeah.
I think it's natural if you're like active in the world, like active meaning like sociable, you connect with other people in the world, like to want praise. Like we're just human beings at the end of the day. Do you know what I mean? It's just it can't outweigh everything you feel about yourself, you know? So I feel like a little bit of balance, like I want to be told cute things all the time. But I also need to feel...
Genuinely feel cute
as well.
Yeah. I don't actually read messages during my show anymore.
Don't you?
No, and I try not to, like, because it would be a thing of, like, during the show, wanting people to say, this is a good show. I'm loving this show.
Do you read comments?
Not anymore, no. Yeah. I just don't think it's healthy.
Yeah, I hear
to
you.
To know what people think about you, good or bad.
Good or bad, because then it will infiltrate what you're trying to create or what you're trying to do, no? Yeah.
I can imagine for an artist, you know, that is really important to keep sacred.
Yeah, I have, like, certain processes. Like, if I'm properly writing in the thick of writing, I don't listen to other people's music. I just try and keep it all very low, try and keep away from social media. You know, just like things, I'm a sensitive person, so things just like get in your mind. And I think I just want to commit in music to just like, don't know, just like letting it come through, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And for it to be completely you. And,
yeah.
You know, you said before, you know, the music was never to be in the music thing. You know, it was never to be that. It was a process of you.
Yeah.
Creating and getting thoughts and feelings out. During that sort of stage, I guess, who were you listening to though? What sort of writers? Like, we know your style now, it's very conversational, it's very much you. Was there any writers that you grew up listening to or you even hear today that you're like, that's great?
General, I was thinking when I first started writing music full stop, Hiatus Coyote really influenced me. Like I was obsessed with the sound. I could hear like this melting pot of all of these things. And I think that interested me a lot. Lyric wise, Amy, obviously, they're just like, she just feels like one of the girls just telling you, you know, it feels super real. And then I think that's a really good that's why so many people feel connected to her. I think Bob Marley is an amazing songwriter. You know what? Like, one of my most romantic lines that he ever says is like, "I will share the shelter of my single bed." Like, the picture that paints and everything it just stands for just makes me melt. And I think the simplicity of having lyrics like that, which are like, can loads of people can understand, then it's like super powerful. Do you know what I mean? Because like, everyone can get it. Solange is a good songwriter. Curtis Mayfield is actually a sick songwriter. I'm saying it like I just discovered him. I'm just letting everyone know.
No, but I've never heard people talk about Curtis Mayfield, the writing side. People talk about the big sound, they talk about that, but I've not heard the writing side of it.
Actually sick, you know, like politically, like some of the things that he was talking about, and yeah, just like his phrasing, like his way of like executing things. Trying to think, like, who else is a great songwriter? Lauryn Hill. I love Cleo Soul.
Yeah. Is there a song that you wish you wrote that you're like, I should have written that? Or not I should have, or I would, I wish I could have.
It should have been me.
It should have been me.
A song that I wish I'd have wrote. Oh, there's so many. I actually had a playlist that was like, I wish I wrote this for ages. One off the top of my head, Cranes in the Sky. I just love that song. And I think, like, when you can, like, it was like for such a group of people, it was like, okay, yeah, like, you're speaking for us. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like any song that feels like anthemy, do you know what I mean? And for a certain group of people, that was a proper anthem. And
I could cry hearing just the dun.
Yeah.
Like, you it's know, so it brings, good. Brings up so much feelings.
Yeah.
But it's so metaphorical.
Well, I already told you, like, I just make the meaning that I take from it is the meaning.
I'm not like that. I mean, the actual the writing, you know, of something, you know, the depression or
things being
so big, so overwhelming that it's like cranes in the sky, and it kind of conjures all these feelings. And when you first hear it coming in, you're like, fuck.
so good. Yeah, actually, just across the board, that was the first one that came to mind from her, but. So many of her songs I feel like that about, yeah.
I think Cranes in the Sky would be a nice accompaniment to Fool's Gold, actually. Yeah, there's something in it.
In the playlist.
Yeah, in the playlist. I think they work quite nicely next to each other. And on a world tip, you know, when you wrote this album, in what was happening in the world? So we know what was happening with you, but what was happening in society, in the world, that you were kind of observing as well?
You know what? I think that, like, gigs and all that were, like, felt a bit more normal and stuff like that by then. And so maybe that's just what is reflected in the song, is just the connection. You know, that's a conversation, basically. So maybe it's just me being more open to, like, chatting people and the want to understand one another. I don't know. Yeah. Like, that makes me sound like I just live in a bubble of myself.
Not at all, but I think of post-COVID, you know. Yeah. This is 2022. At a bus stop. In 2021, you think you're sharing a lighter with anyone at the bus stop? We're 2020, you're talking to someone at the bus stop. Like, you were standing at the other side with a mask on, no eye contact, in case through the eye contact they give you COVID. So, you know, I can understand that. So, yeah, in 2022, the world's starting to feel like it's a bit more of a open place. And then we realise that we've lost these connections with people outside of our bubbles, right? Mm-hmm. And this idea of, coming back to kind of where we started, this idea of having this conversation with somebody, and had you not have been open to having this conversation, you know, so much of what we're sitting here discussing wouldn't have happened. Yeah. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's really nice. And just like, some of those moments can really change your perspective on things. Do you know what I mean? It's just like divine timing. I would have been sitting at the bus stop for ages on my own. Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I took it on. And when I was sort of planning this interview, I got in a cab and the guy was playing some music from his phone. He'd been to like a Channel 1 gig.
Yeah.
And I just took my headphones off. I was like, you know what? Let me like engage
with
him. And we started talking. He gave me all these garage labels to go and check out. But like, it was from this song that was like, not everyday headphones on, like sometimes speak to strangers.
And people are so interesting. I'm so curious. You know, I think like we get obsessed with like people in the limelight. But people are just interesting full stop, you know what I mean? How everyone chooses to walk through the world. That is like quite fascinating, yeah. Do you know what I mean? So, and I'm nosy.
Yeah.
Really nosy. So it's just like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on, you know?
I think curiosity is the key to life. And at the top of the interview, we spoke about, you know, the idea of the sort of not being judgmental, because it's not about being judgmental. But I think what I wanted to add to that was, it's not about being judgmental at all in the kind of walks of life of anyone, the work they choose. I liked it that you wasn't trying to save her.
No,
because there's this
no.
whole like thing of when you read these sort of songs, it's like they need to be saved. And it's like, no.
And also there's a little bit of like, I mean, my girl was fine. Like,
yeah, she's living. We need to learn from her. So yeah. I thank her, whoever yeah. she is, at that bus stop. Have you ever seen her since?
No.
You may never will.
I may never will.
Yeah.
Imagine, she might just know one day.
Yeah.
Might come to her.
Yeah. Okay, so you're already working on some new music. So I kind of wondered, yeah, the writing styles that you sort of went on, the journey that you went on writing voice notes, and now we're kind of in a more observational place. Has that changed how you write?
So I've just finished an EP, and the EP feels like a full stop of the album still, you know, it's like the closed bracket of the album. And yeah, from that, like, stuff feels a lot more, I don't know, like, I don't want to, like, say, also because it's not finished yet, so I don't want to be like, yeah, it's like this, and everyone's like, that is not, you know, it's not going to be too different. It's still me. I'm not going to do a death metal album. But
yeah, not yet.
Not yet. I need to work on my old vocals. But I think I've done the process once, and I can trust the process now, because at the first I was like, to my manager, Amy, like, I just don't think I can do, like, I just don't think I'm going to finish it. Like, I've got nothing more to say. We've had a good run. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and this is me signing out.
I was like, that last EP, that's all I've got. And she's always like, shout out my manager as well, Amy, and my friend, because one of the things that kicked up off writing for the album and writing these things is like, the minute I started to think, oh, you know, making an album, like, I started to think about what kind of album I should make, what was going to be expected of me. I didn't make anything for ages because that was in my mind. That's just not how I create, you know. And then I was like, Ames, yeah, like, we've had a good run. Like, I don't know if I... She was just like, just write you. Like, and I just thought about that a lot. Just write me, just write my stories, you know. Like, that's it, you know. So that's how that one came. And I think now... I've written some of my stories, maybe I can write some others, but yeah. And also just even like my actual knowledge of what it takes to create an album, like quite physically, the production, all of this stuff, I've had the experience once, so it makes me want to like try some other stuff now, or lead a bit more on some things, because I'm like, oh, I know that this is the best bit, or this is how we can get this together, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, it felt like a real sort of... yeah, coming of age, you
know? Like, at my big age,
professionally,
coming of age.
And you are a brilliant writer, and there's nobody that we're going to have on this podcast that isn't a brilliant writer. You know, there's something about your words and how you say them and the way that you say them that really does connect with people. Like, it really does. So what line from this song should we leave the people with? Do you know, I'm going to pass there. We've printed it out, but I think you might know them.
100% it's got to be, she thought the other grass was better, but grass is just muddy, but whether, you know.
You have to have,
you have to, you know. The, you know.
Because that was like, that was you feeling yourself. You're like, you know.
I was in it. I was in my spirit, you know. Everyone, yeah.
Yasmin Lacey, Fool's Gold from the album Voice Notes. Now you've heard the story, go and listen to the song.